Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 as we continue our walk through the book of Joshua. What a fitting time it is. Joshua, the young man that God picked several years before because he saw his heart and he knew what was in his heart. He saw his spirit. He knew he was humble and teachable and trainable. He saw his heart that he loved the Lord. And as we walk through this passage this morning, it will be important for you to understand the heart relationship. God looks down and, yes, God sees your actions, but God sees your heart. He knows what's in your mind. And that's more important than the outward signs. It's fitting because Joshua has been assigned by God to be the leader, the general of this ragtag group of people. We're about to be assigned by God the responsibility of going in and conquering peoples who have never been conquered. Just a few days after passage takes place that we look at in the first chapter. In fact, within 3 days, we're told there in verse 11, they would cross the Jordan River. They look up at a cliff. On the top of that cliff would be a garrison, a fort, which had never been conquered by any army. And yet it was the passageway into the land of Canaan, the promised land. And so within that land were men who were giants, who were professional, lifelong warriors. And Joshua commanded a body of people about 2.5 to 3 million. And none of those were professional, trained warriors. And he had the responsibility of leading this group and giving to them the commands that God gave to him, being God's man. It's on the verge of war that we begin to read. We pick up in verse 8 and overlap it, where God said to Joshua, to all the people, and in all honesty to us, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good success. Untold thousands, millions of people who claim to know the Lord Jesus have lives that are full of wreckage and pains and disorder and confusion, simply because have chosen not to be obedient to what God says to do. Sometime after this, after the people had settled the land, about 800 to 1,000 years after this, I read the situation, God's description of it from the book of Jeremiah. Because the people had become so disobedient and rebellious. Jeremiah's full of that, the prophet of the deportation. In Jeremiah chapter 14, things had gotten so bad that God said to Jeremiah, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. I want to tell you, You think things can be bad? Wait till God says, "I will not help you." Pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. Some people think God hears every prayer. God says, "I will not hear." When they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. None of that would have happened had what we're reading in Joshua 1 become the way of life and then followed. So you can take seriously that which we look at this morning, or you can choose not to. But I want you to know you will pay a severe price if you choose not to. The next verse, for the third time, God says, "Have not I commanded thee?" He didn't give Joshua multiple options. He didn't ask Joshua for his opinion. He says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be thou strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." For the third time, what God is saying to Joshua, he knew was already in Joshua's heart. I think he was saying it for us and for others. He's speaking to the internal nature of an individual. Joshua's heart was already inclined to be obedient. It should be an accepted and automatic thing that when one becomes a Christian, a follower of Christ, that it is automatic that that individual will choose to do that which he says his Lord says to him. That was the standard that Jesus gave. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You cannot become a Christian without choosing to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you love him, Jesus says, he commands us, "Keep my commandments." Further on, he says in verse 21 of the same chapter 14 of John, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me." How does God know you love him? By doing what he says. "And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." The emphasis of what we're reading speaks to the condition of the heart, much more than to the actions of the life. The condition of the heart, what one loves. He goes on and says, verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And then he says, "He loves me not that does not keep my commandments." Very simple issue. You read from Psalms 119 a moment ago. Would you just turn there for a minute and walk through some of the verses with me from the heart of the psalmist? You read a moment ago that the psalmist wrote in verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart." In verse 14, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony." In verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts." Verse 16, "I will delight myself in thy statutes." And I turn the page and I go to verse 47. And I find the psalmist saying again, "I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." And I look again at other verses throughout this great psalm, and I find in Psalm 119, verse 97, the psalmist again saying, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." I turn over to the book of Romans, and I find in chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul says, there's something that's significant for us. He says to us that the law is good and that he finds pleasure and delight in the law. He says there, "For I delight in the law of God." I find in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, where God says to us, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, with a whole heart, as unto the Lord." There is no question but that that which is before us, when God says to Joshua, "Have not I commanded thee?" That he knows that in the heart of Joshua there is love for him. And that love will result in obedience to what he tells him. The half-brother of Jesus, looking at the compromises of Christians in the early day, wrote that letter under his name, James. And he says, "Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." And then he says simply, "Faith without works is dead." He is not saying that you can earn salvation by works, but rather he is saying the same message that we have read in the other passages, that obedience flows out of a heart of love. In obedience is synonymous with faith. If one says that he believes, he will believe with his whole heart. The fact that we do not, with our faith and our belief, receive God's word at all, unless we receive all of God's word. One does not walk through the word of God and begin to pick and choose what he says he thinks God told him to do, or what he likes or what he enjoys. He has settled the issue because he has fallen in love with God and with whatever God has to say. It's a matter of the heart before it can be a matter of the feet. And thus, when he is in love with God, he, as God says to Joshua, "Have not I commanded thee?" He knows Joshua will be obedient. He knows that in his heart there is love for him. He knows that he will be strong and of good courage. What does he know of you? What's in your heart? You see, it's a matter not of having to do something. It's not a matter of a list of rules and regulations. It's not a sister a system of legalism. It is a matter of the heart. Over in Psalm 37, we have this marvelous passage by the psalmist. Where he says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. What you love is what you arrange everything around. For instance, when you love the Lord with all of your heart, and kinfolks call and say they're coming, they'll be here on the weekend, you do not even contemplate the matter of mission, the worship of the Lord you love, because somebody is coming. You say to the kinfolks, bring something to Word Church. Because you love the Lord, you are looking forward to worshiping the Lord and studying His Word, so you don't have somebody having to make you get up and come to Bible study that's offered at 9:30. Or come to worship. Not because you have to, but because your heart is hungry. Nobody has to give you a set of code of rules. Don't do this, do this. Because you will seek out to find out, what is it that pleases my Lord? You know the issue. Remember the days when you were courting one another. Did somebody have to make you do the things that pleased the one you were courting? What a silly question. You did those things because of love in your heart. You arranged your schedule. You arranged your activities. Those who have trouble getting up early enough on Sunday morning to make it to Bible study and worship are simply saying, God is not the one I love most. I have no eager, burning desire in my heart. For those who did not find ways to serve the Lord. You see, where your heart goes, your feet and hands follow pretty quickly, don't they? And so God says in Psalm 37, delight thyself in the Lord. Get excited about it. Say, I will be pleased in the Lord. And what's the result that follows that? Notice verse 4, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You know, when you get your heart turned and your heart falls in love with God, it is no longer the matter of not being able to do the things that you want to do, though the things may be different now. And the things that you used to like to do and enjoy doing, you will no longer want to do, because when you fall in love, what you want to do follows what your heart loves. And so your wants and desires change. And God says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. No, he won't give you the desires of your heart when you love something else before him. But when you love him, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and all of thy soul and with all of thy might. That was what Joshua heard that Moses said, God said to do. Joshua had it as a matter of heart condition. And it was so important that when somebody asked Jesus what was the great commandment, that's exactly what he quoted, what Joshua had heard Moses say, that God said to tell them, love the Lord thy God. So obedience is equivalent with love. And love and faith never argue. They don't try to find a way to selectively pick what they will do. They do not debate the issues. They simply do them. They do them when they do not understand them, as in the case of Abraham, accounted to us in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It tells us there in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should thereafter receive an inheritance, obeyed and went, not knowing where he was going. Abraham didn't stop and say, wait a minute, God, explain to me this. I don't see how this can work. You see, Abraham had made a choice. When God called him out of the paganism in which he had lived and grown up, Abraham made a choice to give his heart to God. And so when God said to Abraham, Abraham, pick up and go here in this direction, Abraham didn't say, oh, but God, you got to give me a map, and you got to show me how you're going to pay for it, and you got to give me the plans so I'll know how to get there. No, Abraham knew that his responsibility was simply to obey what God told him. It would be God's responsibility to work it out. You see, most people, when challenged by God to take a step of faith, don't really want to. They want God to show them how it's all going to work out, because there may be some risk involved. Things may not work out. They may not work out the way you want them to now. But see, when you have chosen to delight in the things that please God, then by the time you get there, your want-tos will have changed, and you will find that which God provides satisfying the desires of your heart. So it's a matter of heart. Be strong and of good courage, Joshua. Then would you notice verse 10. Get so used to reading the Bible, we read over the verses so quickly, don't we? Please don't read hastily over the first word. That preposition then is a word of immediacy. It indicates instantaneous response. Then. Oh. In fact, it was so important that as we dig further into what we're reading, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye the victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Within three days, they would cross that Jordan River. But Joshua, because his heart was in tune with God, already knew what God wanted him to do. And you see, that's the way it is. When you are in love with God and he's first in your life, you are seeking out what he wants you to do before somebody tells you to do it. That's your heart response to him. How do I know he's already acted? Because as I read through a little further, I find out that chapter 2 begins by telling me about two men he sent to be spies up yonder in that fortress up on the hill. But as I read through the second chapter, I find that Even though Joshua said there in verse 11 that within 3 days they'd cross that river, that these spies went up into the city of Jericho and then escaped with their lives and hid 3 days before they came back to Moses. They were already up in that city, that fortress, because Joshua knew what God wanted done. And God didn't have to tell him because his heart was so in tune with what God's heart was. And he'd already acted. So when he is saying in verse 11, then, he is speaking to you and to me, saying, pay attention. When I tell you to do something, when you sense my heart, do it then. Don't stop and argue. Don't go take care of something else. Just do it. When, Lord? Now. You go do it. You say, I got to go home and pray about it. If your heart is really in tune with God's heart, you probably don't have to go spend time in prayer because you probably get an instantaneous communication from God telling you what he wants you to do. And you don't argue with God. You don't say, I can't do that. You don't say to God, that's not what I want. Because if you say that to God, God's going to say, wait a minute, you need to check the condition of your heart. Because if your heart is in tune with my heart, then you're going to want what I want for you and what I will give to you. For I will give you the desires of your heart if you delight in my heart. And there were not to be any exceptions. Do not have time to go into all of it, but pay attention, please, to verses 12 right on. As it continues, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, that's the eldest son of Joseph, spake Joshua, saying, let me just pause for a minute. When they got to the place where they were, and they'd spent a month there, Moses reading, giving to them what we have in the book of Deuteronomy, these three, two and a half tribes, were herdsmen, and they had cattle, and they had stock, and the plains there where they were ideal for raising cattle and stock. And they said to Joshua already, we don't want to go across, live on the other side where the mountains are. We want to stay here, and that's okay. That was part of the promised land. But, read on. Verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. And your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have passed the land. Possess the land which the Lord your God giveth them, and you shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee, only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. It's a rather amazing passage. The men from these tribes were not going to go and possess land to live. They already had theirs. They already had found where they wanted to be. But there was a war to be fought. You see, God had promised the land of Canaan, but they had to go possess it. And just because they had theirs did not mean that they did not go have to go and participate in the battles to be fought. There was a shared responsibility. There was delegated opportunity, but there was a shared responsibility. And they were to be brothers standing shoulder to shoulder, and they were to fight the wars that were to be fought and defeat the inhabitants of the land. And when the war was over, then they could come and they would be through and they would be free now to raise their families and take care of their things. We do not have the time, but if you wish to follow through, you can turn over yonder to the 22nd chapter of the book of Joshua. And you will find there in the first five verses that Joshua says to these 2.5 tribes, "We have fought the battles, we have won the battles. Now you can go tend to your personal family business and raise your families and your cattle. You have fought shoulder to shoulder with us." I want you to understand, my dear congregation and church family, that there's no room for slackers in God's army. It may not be your particular interest, but if there's a job to be done and you're a member of the fellowship, then you have some responsibility to help bear the burden and to fight war. It is common that 20% of a church's membership bear 80% of the burdens. It ought not to be so. Well, when one makes a heart commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, it should be total and without reservation. And one makes a commitment to those others who are in that part of God's army, it ought to be without reservation. I will participate until I have possessed the promises that God has given. The last verse of the first chapter points out that there were severe consequences to be received by those who are disobedient. "Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." For the fourth time, God says to Joshua. You say, "Boy, that's strong medicine." Let me tell you something. Turn over yonder quickly in your Bible to the book of 1 Samuel. To the 15th chapter. First king the Israelites had was a man named Saul. He decided he didn't have to do what he was told to do by God. So he rebelled against God. That is, he substituted his own ideas and his own opinions in the place of what God told him. God sent the prophet Samuel back to him with a message. It is a message for King Saul. It is a message for you and a message for me. It's found in verses 22 and 23. Where Samuel said to King Saul, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Why? We've already seen that rebellion is a sign you don't love God. In just a moment, we'll give an invitation. You say, "After that kind of message, preacher?" Yeah. If somebody's heart anticipates and understands what God's heart is saying to you. And you are ready with a whole heart to do what God says do. Then you're invited to come and respond at the invitation time. God may be saying to you that he wants to use you in some special way for in his service. Do not respond saying yes unless you do it with a whole heart. God can do more with 10 who respond with a whole heart than he can with 1,000 who have compromised hearts. For a whole heart of responsive love allows God to do his work. You see, Joshua was only 2 out of 12, Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 were useless unto God. But because Joshua's whole heart loved God and wanted to do what he told him to do, then God could do the marvelous things through Joshua that he does. You see, serving God, believing in Christ, following the Lord, is a matter of the heart, the whole heart. If thou shalt believe in thine heart, then thou shalt be saved, the Word of God says. No reservations, nothing holding back. Follow the Lord with a whole heart. Would you bow your heads, please? God speaks to your heart and tells you to make a commitment or do something. That's what you should do. If God doesn't do that, then you should not do that. You should do whatever you do, whatever decision you make. Because God has spoken to your heart, and with your heart you're responding. Understand, my dear friend, God's blessings flow to those who love him with a whole heart. Understand also that God reads your heart and he knows what's in your heart. You will not fool him. You may fool someone else, but you will not fool him. If there's some decision that he's laid on your heart and told you to make, then you are encouraged to do that. If it's to move your membership to this church, if that's what he's told you to do, then you do that. If he hasn't told you to do it, then don't do it. If he has told you to come and volunteer and give your life for his service in some special way, then you do that. If he hasn't told you to do it, don't do it. If he is calling you to follow him as his Lord and Savior, which if you have not yet given your heart, he almost certainly is calling you to do, then you should say, yes, Lord. Make that commitment to him and make him your king with your whole heart. I'm going to pray briefly and then we'll stand and we'll sing just a verse or two. If you have a decision to make, be prepared to come and make it. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for you to have your way in somebody's heart this morning. There will be someone this morning who hears your heart speaking to their heart and who responds to what you're saying.